JewishHistory.org presents Rabbi Beryl Wine's 5,000 Years of Jewish History. One video clip at a time. Clip number 17. Translating the Bible and Forced Assimilation.
For about a century and a half, there's a Cold War that goes on between the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. Every so often it flashes into a hot war. As I mentioned, Israel is caught in the middle. And the influence of the Greeks grows in language, in culture, and in the Greek way of life. There are many things in the Greek way of life that were absolutely antithetical to Judaism. The sexual immorality, the nudity, the emphasis on the physical body, and the paganism. The Greeks had a pantheon of gods, hundreds, no limit. And the worship of those gods, the public worship of those gods, naturally went against the grain of the Jewish people. Now, in the Ptolemaic Empire, Ptolemy gathered together 70 Jewish scholars and ordered them to translate the Bible into Greek. The rabbis say it's miraculous because each of the 70 was in a separate room. And if they were in a separate room, each one somehow came up with the exact same translation. Therefore, there was an aura of divinity regarding this translation called the Septuagint. Realistic Jews say that if the 70 rabbis would have been in one room, they never would have agreed on one translation. In any event, this became the Septuagint, the famous translation of the Bible into Greek. From that Greek Bible, eventually it's translated into Latin, into English. Eventually it becomes the Bible that the world knows and the Bible that the Jewish people donated, so to speak, to world civilization. The rabbis were of a mixed mind. They regretted that it was translated into Greek, because in effect it took the Bible out of their hands. But on the other hand, they saw that it was the will of God to do it, and therefore it was a further contribution of Greek culture, Greek language, to the Jewish world. Jews could now read the Bible in Greek. They didn't have to read it in the original Hebrew. Now, we all know that every translation misses nuances. There are no two translations that are exact, and it's hard to capture, especially from Hebrew. Hebrew is a very, very difficult language. It's a difficult language to learn, to speak. It has a paucity of words. I think there are only 26,000 words in Hebrew. In English, there are over 600,000. So the vocabulary is very limited, and therefore Hebrew is mainly nuance. A letter here, a letter there. Well, when it comes to translate, it's not hard to get mistranslations simply because of the differences between the languages. And then when we go, for instance, from a Hebrew translation to a Greek translation to a Latin translation to an English translation, well, then we can see that there's plenty of room for mischief there. And that's the difficulty in many of these things. One of the things that the Jews have always contested, the Catholic Church has this belief in the virgin birth, and they base it on a verse in Isaiah. The Hebrew word that's used there is Alma. Now, Alma, when it was translated into Greek, Alma in Hebrew means a young woman. It does not mean a virgin. A virgin is a betula. Now, when it was translated into Greek, apparently the Greek word can mean either a young woman or a virgin. When translated into Latin, it became a virgin. And therefore, this question of what did Isaiah say remains a point of contention between the two faiths until today. This idea of Greek culture, sports, nudity, paganism, of all sorts of antithetical ideas to Judaism. And on the other hand, the Greeks also had great ideas, democracy in their limited form, philosophy, theater, art, statues, all sorts of cultural things became the contentious points between the Jewish people and the Greeks. Now, as long as the Greeks were willing to live and let live, in other words, they had their culture and the Jews had their culture, and everybody could do whatever they wanted to do, there really were no great problems. The rabbis saw Greek culture as a thing of beauty. But once the Greeks attempted to force the Jews to become Greeks, so then that was a different story. Jewish people are very strange. If they treat them nicely, they'll assimilate, they'll do whatever you want, they're terrific. But if you want to force them to do something, then they become stubborn. Then they raise their hackles. That's a lesson throughout human history, throughout the history of the Jewish people. It's a lesson in our time as well. By the second century before the Common Era, when the Seleucid Empire of the North controls the entire land of Israel, a cultural and eventually military confrontation between the two is almost inevitable. And that is the story of Hanukkah. The Greeks insist that Jews eat pork, that they don't circumcise themselves. They felt that circumcision is a violation of the holiness of the body. The Greeks were into the body as being the ultimate form of beauty. They defiled the temple. They put a statue of Zeus in the Holy Temple of Jerusalem. And so there simmers a great Jewish resentment to the Greek culture and to the hands of the Greeks that rule them. And out of that comes this story of Hanukkah and the holiday of Hanukkah, which is celebrated by Jews until this very day. Thanks for watching.
For more on Jewish history, go to jewishhistory.org.